Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 8th of January. Healthcare for retirees, this hour of the program. There's a new federal regulation that allows employers to reduce or eliminate health benefits for retirees when they turn 65 and become eligible for Medicare. Those who are supportive of this say that it could help slow the deterioration of employment-based health insurance. And those who are opposed to it say that there could be discrimination here against older workers. We are going to look at this whole issue this hour of the program, and I'm sure get into an interesting discussion of how well Medicare works for people and what the history has been of employers providing health care and what kind of health care for older workers in this country. Our guest is Professor Bridget Madrian, Aetna Professor of Public Policy and Corporate Management at the Center for Business and Government at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. We'll be welcoming phone calls. The number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Professor Madrian, hello. Thank you so much for being with us.
I'm happy to be here.
Tell me, the New York Times a couple days ago said that it's likely that this new rule will help far more people than it hurts. Is that your take on it or not?
Well, I think that's an open question, but the argument that they're trying to make is that providing health insurance for retired workers is such an expensive proposition these days that employers have for quite some time trying to get out of the business of providing retiree health insurance. And this new regulation, which allows employers to provide the coverage but restrict it only to to retirees under the age of 65, might actually encourage some employers to keep providing that coverage when they might otherwise have eliminated it altogether. And in the best case, might encourage some employers who aren't even offering retiree health insurance to adopt such plans, since they would only have to be providing the coverage for workers until they reach the age of 65.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, what kind of coverage are some employers offering for older workers? Is it substantial? Is it supplemental to Medicare, or what is it?
So that is a complicated question, and there are a lot of different answers depending on different circumstances.
Mm.
So companies offer different types of coverage, and the coverage that retirees get can also depend on what other types of health insurance they have available. So, historically, companies that offered retiree health insurance tended to just keep on offering the same coverage they were offering to their active employees to their retirees. And if that was very generous coverage for the active employees, the retirees were getting very generous coverage as well. As healthcare costs have gone up and as life expectancy has gone up, that's become a very expensive proposition for employers. So more recently, some companies have started saying, well, we'll offer a set amount of money each month to retirees that they can use to contribute toward the cost of our retiree health insurance or go get something on their own. In most cases, when companies are offering retiree health insurance, if an individual is eligible for Medicare, then the health insurance benefits that the company provides will be coordinated with Medicare so that you're not getting paid twice, from Medicare and once from the company for the same services. Now, that's fairly standard. If you, as a younger active worker, had health insurance and you were also covered, say, by an insurance policy through your spouse, those two health insurance plans would be coordinated as well. So that's a fairly standard thing in the insurance industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, most people, though, tell me how much better some of these employer plans are. Most people seem to be pretty happy with Medicare, aren't they?
Medicare is an extremely popular program, and some of us are actually a little bit surprised at that, because Medicare historically has not been a particularly generous source of health insurance coverage compared to the types of plans that workers typically have as active employees. But I think, you know, many older individuals, when making that assessment, you know, the benchmark might be having no health insurance at all. Mm-hmm. And relative to having no health insurance at all, Medicare is probably a pretty good deal, even though, you know, it does not cover everything.
Right. And I'm a little bit confused now. If you're a worker who's retiring before the age of 65, how does this – how are you affected by all this?
So the new regulation only applies to companies that are offering retiree health insurance. So
okay.
I guess the first thing to note would be that a lot of workers – aren't even at companies that offer retiree health insurance in the first place.
Right.
So if you're in a company like that, if you retire, you're on your own. You can buy COBRA coverage through your former employer for up to 3 years.
Mm.
But if you run out of that before Medicare, you're on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And this regulation won't affect those workers at all. So it's only going to affect workers in companies that offer retiree health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
In the companies that offer those benefits, if you're under age 65, this proposal is probably not going to do much either. So what the new regulation says is that companies can distinguish between their older retirees and their younger retirees, and they can essentially stop providing retiree coverage.
I see.
Once individuals reach age 65. So that's where the key difference is.
Mm-hmm.
If you are retired and you're over age 65, a company could say, even though we have been providing you with retiree health insurance, now that you are eligible for Medicare, we are not going to provide that coverage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas prior to this ruling, if the company offered retiree health insurance, it had to offer it to all of its retirees, regardless of age.
I see. So how many people are we talking about who would be affected by this? I can't imagine there are tons of companies in this country that are offering this kind of health benefit for retirees.
You know, I don't have a good number to give you, but the number of companies the number of workers that are in companies offering retiree health insurance has been declining steadily
mm-hmm.
for the past 20 years. So, you know, I'd be surprised if it impacts more than 20% of retirees.
Oh, that's more than I thought it would be. And what about the some labor unions are saying that they want healthcare dollars to go to younger retirees, to active workers. Is there some truth in what they're saying here, that it's going to free up some dollars to other places where it's better needed?
So my impression is that the labor unions were, in fact, generally in support of this, and I think that's because, you know, they've been battling with the companies for quite some time over health care benefits,
mm-hmm.
and they realize how expensive healthcare is becoming, and that the companies where they work cannot remain competitive in an international economy if companies are saddled with exorbitantly high healthcare expenses for retirees who are no longer contributing to the company's bottom line. And I think the unions realize that the company, you know, can't. Most companies cannot afford to keep on providing the lucrative benefits they've been providing in the past, and they'd rather have the money going towards benefits for active workers or benefits for younger retirees who don't have access to Medicare, and realize that the employees who are age 65 and can get Medicare will largely be in pretty good shape, even if the company's not providing retiree health insurance for them anymore.
Let's welcome phone calls. Our guest is Professor Bridget Madrian. She's at Harvard University in the Kennedy School of Government, the Center for Business and Government, and we're talking about health care for retirees and the new federal regulation allowing employers to reduce or eliminate health benefits for retirees when they turn 65 and become eligible for Medicare. I guess another question I'm interested in hearing the answer to from listeners is the kind of coverage that you get from Medicare, too. Am I speaking out of turn here when I say that I think a lot of people are satisfied with Medicare, or do you feel like you need more here? Do you feel like this is discriminatory against older people in this country, or does it free up health care dollars for younger workers? 800-486-8655 is our number, 227-2050 if you're joining us in Milwaukee. And we start our calls with Diane from Milwaukee. Hi, Diane.
Oh, to answer your last question, if you're on Medicare, you really need a supplement, and then you got to get Part D. And my husband and I, we must pay together for all of that, not counting that what we actually pay for the prescriptions when we get them, is a $4,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are a full-time active employee over age 65, if they stop your employee insurance, will they be giving you the difference in money?
Mm.
You know, because I worked till I was 68, but I paid my full-time insurance premium through the company, and I got my full-time coverage. But if they would have said, well, you're 65 and we're not going to pay your insurance anymore, then they should have given me the benefit in money.
Professor Madrian.
So this new regulation only applies to retiree health insurance, not to the insurance coverage provided for active workers. So in the situation of the caller who had worked until she was 68, this regulation doesn't apply to active worker health insurance. The company who's providing health insurance to active workers would still continue providing that to active workers even if they were over the age of 65.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane, so much for your call. James from Galena is next. Hi, James.
I can't think of any more things that upset me than this phony proposal to benefit the corporations. I come out of the Maytag Corporation. I was a machinist business representative for 35 years. We serviced 38 different contracts in four different states. And I can tell you this proposal will cost each retiree that's over 65 and retirees an average of $2,200 to $2,500 a year.
Why?
The supplement and the drug benefits. Because right now the company supplements some of these retirees with drug benefits and insurance so that they don't have to pay that supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just another Republican push, and I'm an independent, Bush proposal to screw the retirees that put their whole life in these corporations and companies.
Hmm.
Sure, it's expensive, but during the years that they negotiated these contracts, they took less money to get insurance proposals.
Hmm.
The only thing this is going to benefit is some CEO making another $20 million a year in their wages.
Hmm.
That's all. It's not going to benefit any of the elderly people in this country.
Professor Madrian.
Well, I certainly sympathize with the frustrations of the caller, and I think he's exactly right. If the company that he worked for sees this regulation and decides we're not going to provide health insurance for our retirees who are over the age of 65, it will result in some additional costs for them. He cited a number of something like $2,200 a year, and that sounds like it probably is a pretty good ballpark estimate. The other issue he raised, however, is that no one would benefit. And I think that's the big question. Is it the case that no one would benefit? And the rationale behind the proposal is that if companies are required to provide health insurance for all of their retirees, if they provide it for any of their retirees, that many companies will get out of the business of providing retiree health insurance altogether, and that will leave many younger retirees in the lurch.
Mm.
And those individuals don't have access to Medicare. So it's kind of a distributional question, and it's potentially taking something away from the older retirees who do have access to Medicare, and now with Medicare Part D do at least have some degree of prescription drug coverage. And hopefully that will encourage companies to continue providing health insurance to retirees who are younger than the age of 65.
Mm-hmm.
There, I don't know what dream world you're in, but a corporation is not going to provide insurance for any employee unless they have to. It's a cost item to them. They're in business to make profit. And believe me, they're not going to spend their money on any kind of benefits if they don't have to.
Well, that's not quite true because there is no law requiring any company to provide health insurance. Companies do it to stay competitive because their employees, it's cheaper for their workers to get health insurance through the company than it is to buy it in the open market. But there is no federal or state law, with a handful of exceptions, Massachusetts and Hawaii being a couple of them, that requires companies to either provide health insurance to their workers or to even make a contribution to their workers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly correct, and that's the reason the companies that we serviced through union labor agreement contracts, we negotiated those insurance policies. We didn't get them free. We negotiated them.
Yeah.
The companies that didn't have labor unions were without insurance, and most of them didn't have any insurance or didn't have any insurance for retirees because the company didn't volunteer to give it to them.
Right, right. And unfortunately, when those contracts for retiree health insurance were negotiated, money was not set aside to pre-fund the benefits in the same way that pension coverage has been, or at least what was supposed to be, pre-funded. And that's the reason why many companies are finding this such an expensive proposition these days.
Thank you so much for your call, James. Valuable comments. Who's responsible for this new federal regulation? How do we get such a regulation, Professor Madrian?
Who's responsible for it? Well, that's a good question. I haven't followed the whole legislative history of this particular regulation, but the regulation was put out by the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is the federal agency that handles discrimination cases.
Mm.
So the reason that this agency is issuing the ruling is because there is a law prohibiting discrimination against older workers, and up until now, that law has been interpreted to apply to retirement benefits as well as the benefits for active employees, and in particular to hold that companies can't reduce the benefits provided to workers or retirees as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has decided, as the agency that kind of sets the rules of the game under the discrimination laws, that providing this kind of exemption for retirement benefits, retirement health insurance benefits for workers who are over the age of 65, that this does not, in fact, violate the spirit of the discrimination laws.
We need to pause for a moment. We'll return. Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, the Milwaukee line is 414-227-2050, 414-227-2050. Healthcare for retirees, our topic, and our guest is Professor Bridget Madrian. She is at Harvard University in the Center for Business and Government, Kennedy School of Government. Our lines have been very busy, so just keep the number in mind, 800-486-8655. Or if you'd like to send us an email, you could do that as well. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And we go back to phone calls now, and our next caller is Dan from White Lake. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Hi.
I just, when you asked about Medicare being quite acceptable to people that are on it, I'll just tell you my anecdotal story. I'm on it. I'm 68. In February, I had open heart surgery, and a lot of it. There were three surgeons in the operating room for 8 hours. Mm. I had three bypasses, a mitral valve repair, repaired foramen ovale that never closed when I was born, which is a chamber from one opening from one chamber of the heart to the other. And each of those three surgeons put in a bill for just under $25,000.
Wow.
I don't have a Medicare supplement. I have a Medicare substitute, so that the $98 or thereabouts that would be taken out of my Social Security check and go to Medicare to cover my Medicare expenses goes to an insurance company instead.
Mm.
This insurance company is run by my former union.
Hmm.
They disallowed two of those bills entirely and knocked the other one down to under $5,000.
Hmm.
Now, when you say there's no government program that can control health care costs, that's controlled health care costs. That $75 worth of bills was knocked down to under $5,000, and I have no remaining balance to pay.
Hmm.
And I'll just, you know, fill you in on that.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, Professor Madrian.
Just to make sure I understood you correctly, so you're saying that you essentially didn't have to pay anything for your open heart surgery. It sounds like he's dropped the call.
Are you there, Dan? Still? Yeah, that's what it sounded like to me too.
Yeah,
from that perspective.
That's great.
$5,000.
If that had been covered by Medicare as opposed to his union coverage, my guess is he would have had a much higher fraction of that total bill to pay out of pocket.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the call. 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. If you're joining us in the Milwaukee area. All right, let's go next to Nettie from Fond du Lac. A couple lines are open if you want to join us. Hi, Nettie.
Hi. Say, okay, I have a couple of questions. First of all, how soon would this be taking effect? Secondly, what about my husband who has worked at Giddings and Lewis for 42 years, who has had less and less and less income from that job because of the cuts that we've had to take? Are we going to be ending up strung out because of only having Medicare? And thirdly, why are we not pushing for national health care instead of having these companies be able to make more money off of us?
I'm
going to hang up.
Oh, wait, before you hang up, though, Nettie, so your husband's company is providing some kind of supplemental insurance for retirees or replant?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's been paying into that for 42 years.
Uh-huh.
So the first question was, when does this take effect?
Right.
I think it would take effect very soon, if not immediately. The one thing that would perhaps delay the effective date of this regulation is the fact that it springs out of a lawsuit, and the suit has been appealed to the Supreme Court to review the decision. So there is a possibility, you know, that this could drag out for, you know, another year maybe, if the Supreme Court decided to review things and issue a ruling one way or the other. Otherwise, you know, it would take effect very soon. But I should add that this is just a ruling by the EEOC that says that companies can eliminate retiree health insurance for individuals who are eligible for Medicare. It doesn't require them to do that. So there could be many companies who do nothing. You know, the caller may be lucky, and her husband's company will look at this regulation and say, well, that's nice, but we're trying to be the good guy, and we have all these retirees who have made contributions and are continuing to make contributions, and we've told them we're going to give these benefits, and we're going to stand by our promises. So there's nothing in the regulation that requires companies to provide less health insurance coverage than they're currently providing. The last point of the caller, the last question was why aren't we agitating for national health care coverage? And that's an important question, and it's a separate issue, and I'm sure you've probably had many shows about that in the past. But certainly if we had some sort of a nationalized healthcare system, this would not be an issue.
Yeah, it just points again to the phenomenal complexity of our healthcare system, doesn't it? To try to figure out if you're a retiree, what you get, what's supplemental, what your employer does, what they should do. It's just very hard to maneuver your way through this system.
It's very complicated, and in contrast to the healthcare systems in almost all of the other developed countries of the world, we have a system where health insurance and employment are tied together in some very strange ways.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one example of the funny way in which these two are linked at the hip and the kind of distortions that it creates in the marketplace.
Right. Thanks very much for your call. Our number, 800-486-8655, 227-2050, if you're joining us in Milwaukee. Is there any way to know the number of companies who may be likely to continue their coverage? Do we know that, or are they all chomping at the bit to get rid of it?
Well, at this early date, I would say there's not a good way to know. The
mm-hmm.
The ruling was issued less than 2 weeks ago. So
mm-hmm.
Sometime in the next few months, I'm sure the big consulting companies will survey the large employers in the U.S. and ask them whether this ruling is going to impact what they are doing. What I can say is that for the past 20 years, there has been a marked decline in the number of companies that are providing any type of post-retirement health insurance benefits. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the hope behind the ruling is that this is going to stop that downward trend. Whether it stops it completely or whether it just reduces it or whether it has no effect is an open question. But certainly the future scenario for employer-provided health insurance before this ruling was looking very bleak indeed.
Thanks, Nettie, for your call. We go next to Kasser, is it, from West Bend?
Yes, I have a perfect solution, I think. I think you guys would probably laugh at it. But I am a Pakistani-American, and my mother just had a very big stroke, and she was paralyzed from the right side in Pakistan. I flew to be with her, and for the 2 weeks that I was with her, the Medicare and the services she was receiving was second to none. So my point here is we have outsourced everything and a lot of things to other countries, even our military is outsourced. Why don't we build hospitals that are only in other countries that are only focused towards our retirees? For example, let's take Guantanamo Bay, convert into a really nice hospital and give all of the Florida, all the retirees from Florida, and give them an option to be treated there. And maybe we can subcontract it to Fidel Castro. Obviously, he seems to be providing better Medicare to his people than we are to our people. Take Texas and California and build up big, huge hospitals in Mexico. So maybe something like this will add a lot of goodwill and people. We will bring a lot of jobs. People will our retirees will get better service. They will, they will be away from all these, hectic lifestyle that we have here, worrying about bills, all these stuff, and give them a vacation plus a treatment that they so badly need.
What about the family members? How are they going to get to be close to their loved ones?
Well, you know what? Sometimes if you need a heart bypass, you need a heart bypass.
Uh-huh.
And 49% of the population in this country is mobile. Most of the family members are not taking care of their elderly. If you remember, when we had the heat wave in Chicago some years back, over 100 of these elderly elder people died because nobody was there to take care of them. If they are not there to take care of them on an everyday basis, why should we worry about when the elderly need the medical treatment? I mean, if somebody needs a heart bypass, let's take them there. I think they will recover much faster, make a vacation out of it, and bring them back.
All right, well, there's an idea I haven't heard before, Professor Adrian. What do you think of that one?
Although the caller said that we would laugh, and indeed, I think we have had a little chuckle. I have not heard of any serious proposals to do this, but yeah. the caller raises an interesting point, which is that if healthcare is cheaper to provide abroad, should we be investigating that as an option? And I think the gut instinct of many people hearing his suggestion is probably, you know, no way. We shouldn't force people to go overseas to get their health care. But, you know, maybe we don't want to force that, but maybe it should be allowed as an option. If you're, you know, on Medicare and you need a triple bypass surgery and it can be done for half the price overseas as it can be done here, and you get a nice vacation out of it to boot. You know, why not offer people that option?
All right, yeah.
Certainly there are people from the U.S. who do go overseas for certain types of medical procedures because it is cheaper.
Right.
Things like plastic surgery that aren't covered by insurance. I've read many stories about people going overseas for organ transplants because it's cheaper over there in some other countries than it is here. So I wouldn't completely laugh off the caller's proposal. I think there is some merit in it. Certainly something to think about. Maybe not in exactly the way he's described, but certainly. As an option in some circumstances.
Yeah, right. Well, it's a different idea. Thanks, Kasser, for your call. Sandra is next from Fort Atkinson. Hi, Sandra.
Hi.
Hi. You
had asked about if we were satisfied with Medicare. And my husband and I are in our 80s. And just recently, we had some very, very expensive things had to be done at hospitals and so on. The Medicare, the big thing is that you must ask, do you take Medicare from the physician or the hospital? And as long as they do, well, for us, of course, they did. And Medicare paid for most of our expense, our insurance company. We do have a supplemental insurance policy, and that paid for the rest. We paid nothing for, well, some surgery and so on that we couldn't have afforded to have otherwise. Also in Wisconsin, we have senior care for prescriptions, which is really a wonderful thing for seniors. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Professor Madrian.
Well, it's great to hear that the healthcare system is working for you and your husband, and I hope that things are looking good for you now. And I think the sentiments the caller expressed are what you often hear from people, that they're generally pretty happy. The interesting thing is that the caller had Medicare and supplemental health insurance. And I think that's the reason why I would tend to label Medicare as not the most generous source of coverage, is the fact that so many people need or feel like they need to get supplemental coverage on top of that. When we look at active workers who have health insurance, people don't buy supplemental coverage because the insurance that they have as employees tends to cover most of their expenses, and they're, you know, liable at the end of the year for, you know, in a really bad year, a few hundred, maybe $1,000 or $2,000. Whereas with Medicare, the risk can be much greater, but people have taken steps, like the caller, to go get supplemental coverage. So if you have the combination of those things, then yes, you probably are going to be in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, Sandra?
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Everybody healthy now, Sandra?
Doing very well.
Good.
And I must say, our We'd love it if we didn't have to have the supplemental coverage, but I imagine there are people that couldn't afford it because it does get more expensive every year.
Mm.
However, it isn't really bad compared to when you see the amounts that they're paying out. I wonder if we couldn't do without it because Medicare pays such a large amount of the costs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but thank you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for the call.
Bye.
All right, let's go next to Dee Dee from Buffalo City. Hi, Dee Dee.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I want to say several things about the people who've called in and addressed particularly the secondary insurance issue, which the woman just spoke about. But I don't think you'll find anybody who has Medicare, and of course those are only people over the age of 65, who don't think it's an absolute godsend. For one thing, if we didn't have Medicare, my husband and I are both over the age of 65, if we didn't have Medicare, any and all medical procedures we have, including something like office visits, we would have to pay what people under the age of 65 have to pay when they show up at a doctor's office or have a surgical procedure. The greatest value of Medicare is that Medicare will pay only a certain amount of whatever the charges are made against your service. The gentleman who called in, for instance, who had all the heart problems, the reason he didn't have to pay the full amount was not because he had his company was covering him, but it was because he was over the age of 65 and is covered by Medicare. The woman who just called in said she had Medicare, and her secondary insurance paid part of it. We have Medicare. We also have a secondary insurance. Medicare pays 80% of what they agree to pay to a doctor, and our secondary insurance pays 20% of the other 20% that Medicare doesn't pay. So yes, we have a secondary insurance, but if the valuable part to us is the Medicare coverage, because the man who had $75,000 charged by a doctor, for instance,
mm-hmm.
and he said Medicare disallowed two of those $75,000. That was Medicare who disallowed that payment. In other words, if a doctor agrees to accept assignment, which is the word, and will accept Medicare charges, then Medicare makes the decision as to what percentage of the doctor's charges
mm-hmm.
that will indeed be paid. And I want to say one other thing, too, about this business of having some people, if they're covered by their private insurance, not being covered by Medicare. It would be a disaster, in my view, if that prevailed, because sociologically, the most valuable thing about Medicare and the reason it has been universally accepted by the American people is that it is universal coverage,
mm-hmm.
universal coverage. In other words, even people who are able to pay their own doctor bills, once they reach the age of 65, they are covered by Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
And those people hardly endorse it, as well as those people who would be unable to pay the astronomical cost of Medicare in this country.
Yeah, Professor Madrian.
So the caller did a good job of describing, I think, one of the benefits of Medicare that I think kind of goes under the radar screen, which is that the government essentially is negotiating lower prices than what individuals would get if they just walked into the doctor's office or checked themselves into the hospital, so that the you know, the costs are lower than they would be otherwise. I will point out that that's not unique to Medicare. That's something that lots of different insurance companies do. So, you know, the insurance company that I have from my employer, you know, when I get a bill from going to the doctor, my insurance company has already negotiated a discount, a substantial discount from the list prices that the doctors or the hospitals would have been charging. So Medicare is, you know, doing something very, very similar there. But you see similar things also with car insurance. If you get in an accident, your car insurance company probably has a negotiated discount with various repair shops as well. So that's an additional benefit of insurance that often gets overlooked.
And thank you so much for your call. We need to pause for a moment. We'll return and welcome more of your phone calls for Professor Bridget Madrian, Professor of Public Policy and Corporate Management in the Business and Government Center at the Kennedy School of Government, Harvard University. We're looking at health care for retirees, and specifically, although we're going a little bit beyond this, the new federal regulation, which will allow employers to reduce or eliminate health benefits for retirees when they turn 65 and become eligible for Medicare. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. All right, let's go back to phone calls. 800-486-8655, 227-2050. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, Irv is next from Milwaukee. Hi, Irv.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi.
Welcome back to Milwaukee after your wonderful trip to Iowa.
Thank you.
We enjoyed your comments immensely. It was very exciting. I have several brief comments. I've taught in this field for many years. I'm a professor emeritus at the University of Wisconsin. Healthcare economics is one of my fields. A couple of observations quickly. Number one, we are covered by Medicare, my wife and I, and we are immensely satisfied. And we thank heavens every day that President Johnson and others had the foresight to enact Medicare back in 1965. One of the things I would observe is that part of the problem we are facing, both in terms of retiree health care in general and the specific issue of health care after 65 for provided by employers, is that the idea of health insurance tied to the place of employment is an historical accident. I won't go into details. It was called a little steel for me in 1942, and I think I'm one of the last seven people who understands the origins of health care provided privately. Number two, with regard to Medicare, I would argue that if we had universal Medicare, we would not be in the shape we are in now, and that if we tried to pass Medicare right now, we would be immensely unsuccessful. I want to give you one little vignette, and then I'll quit. In 1965, I was a Democratic Party activist, and I was engaged in a debate over the passage of Medicare. And I was a major doctor, a surgeon, I won't mention his name, was my opponent in a major debate. And I was called all kinds of things for advocating Medicare. I was a socialist, even worse terms, and it was going to ruin our health care system. Interestingly, about a year after this debate and the passage of Medicare, the Milwaukee Journal published a list of all the doctors in Wisconsin who received Medicare payments. And I swear this is the truth. Guess who was number one?
Oh, my.
Person I was.
Your opponent.
I won't mention his name. You would know it if I mentioned it. I won't. Obviously, I can't. And I wish I had kept that issue in the Milwaukee Journal. But again, my observation is that Medicare has served us nobly. It's not perfect. But we are satisfied. We are secure in our old age. That we have good health care. It has covered us in a number of situations. And I am sure that had we not had Medicare, we would be in much more dire circumstances. Mm. So again, thank you for your program.
Thank you, Irv.
Thank you for your service in Iowa. We enjoyed it immensely, and good luck.
We loved being there. Thank you. Thanks so much for the call, Professor Madrian.
Well, I agree with everything that the caller has to say. As we've already noted, most seniors are very, very happy with Medicare because they view the alternative as being uninsured. The history behind our system of employer-provided health insurance is indeed very interesting. Like the caller mentioned, it's a bit of a historical accident, and we're very different in that regard from all of the other developed countries, and in particular many of our international trading partners, in a way that tends to place us at a disadvantage in some of those relationships. Certainly that's one of the big problems the auto industry is struggling with, that the cost of health care for their active workers and their retirees, you know, make them unable to compete with the Japanese and Korean auto producers.
Thanks, Irv, so much for your call. Let's go to Carol from Gutenberg, Iowa. Hi, Carol.
Oh, hi, Kathleen. I just wanted to say that historically, Medicare, it sounds like it's been a wonderful program, but I would just like people to know that in the last revision of the Medicare Prescription Drug Bill, Part D, that bill was passed in the middle of the night and driven by lobbyists of the pharmaceutical companies, and that there is a provision in that drug bill that says that Medicare cannot negotiate for drug prices, unlike the Veterans Administration. And so just so people know that, and so they can be vigilant about that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is absolutely true. The prescription drug coverage under Medicare that was passed very, you know, just a couple of years ago, I like the way the caller described it, kind of a stealth bill in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And certainly the pharmaceutical companies were, well, it was a political compromise getting everyone to buy into it. And the way that the pharmaceuticals were kind of kowtowed to politically was by including language in the bill that indeed, as the caller suggests, prohibits the government from, negotiating over drug prices with pharmaceutical companies, you know, to basically keep the government from wrangling every last penny out of the pharmaceuticals. And many people feel that's unfortunate, that should be changed at some point in the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you think? Let me just go down a different road here for a moment. What do you think the country is ready to fashion a whole new healthcare system for America? Do you think we're going to see that in the next couple of years, Professor Madrian, or not?
You know, it would take a very strong-willed political leader to try and do that. The Clintons tried it in 1993, and it didn't work. Moreover, it left a bitter taste in the mouths of many people. And I think one of the big obstacles to reform is that although there are many parts of the system that don't work well, in general, most people have coverage that they're pretty happy with at any particular point in time. So even though a system of employer-provided health insurance has a lot of funny quirks associated with it, people who have good coverage from their employers are pretty happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid that a change in the system might result in a change in their health insurance coverage that's already pretty good, or they might be paying more for it, and they get worried. And, you know, seniors who are on Medicare are pretty happy with it, as many of the callers have mentioned, even though in general it's not the most generous health insurance coverage and most of them have to get supplements, but they get them and then they're pretty happy with it. And one of the problems is that there just aren't that many people who are in dire straits at any particular point in time to kind of, you know, generate this groundswell that's going to lead to change. And you know, it's a similar problem with Social Security reform. Social Security needs to be reformed, but most people who are getting benefits are pretty happy with it, and they don't want their benefits cut. And younger people, it's a problem in the future. They're not they're not worried enough about it today to agitate for change today, and there we sit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not really optimistic that large-scale reform is going to take place anytime in the short term. What is happening is that there are a lot of states experimenting with ways to increase coverage. So, Massachusetts this past year has started requiring everyone to have some sort of health insurance coverage, and if you don't have it, you will be assessed a penalty when you file your state tax return every year. California has been trying for many years to you know, enact provisions that will expand coverage there as well, a little bit unsuccessfully. They've had some legal challenges. You know, at the federal level, there have been several expansions in coverage for poor individuals, and particularly for children, the most notable being the State Children's Health Insurance Program, SCHIP. And so there are a lot of reforms that are happening incrementally, but I think it's going to be a while before we see large-scale reforms.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. Oh, I want to take another call. We don't have time. Lots of interest in this topic. Professor Madrian, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
There's a lot of interest in healthcare in this country and in this listening audience. Our guest, Professor Bridget Madrian. She is a professor of public policy and corporate management at the Center for Business and Government, the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University. And we thank her so much for being with us to spend the hour talking about the new federal regulation allowing employers to reduce or eliminate health benefits for retirees when they turn 65 and become eligible for Medicare. So that was interesting. We are going to be with you tomorrow. We'll be talking about the results of the New Hampshire primary. And just a reminder that special programming tonight for all of you political junkies, and I know there are many in this audience who are, the special programming in the New Hampshire primary from 7 until 10 tonight, NPR News special coverage of that primary. So listen in. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning for producing the hour, to John Treader for on-air production here in Milwaukee, and thanks for all of your calls. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.